turn to Matthew 6:32. Matthew 6:32. It's where we started in January about the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:32. Actually, Matthew 6:33 is where we started. We're going to go to 6:32 today. And so we're going to talk about things today. Things. Your things. So, Brother Scotty, things are not important. Yeah, they are. And your things are important to God as well. So how do you know that? Well, I've read the Bible. And so God blesses us with things. And I'm going to read that in a moment. Matthew 6:33. Let's see what the Word of the Lord has today. Things are not important to me. Well, if that's the case, then this afternoon I'm going to get my trucks and trailers. I'm going to come over to your house and get all your stuff. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Matthew 6:32. Matthew 6:33 is our verse for the year. We're going to read it in just a moment. And so I want to talk to you about things today and see what the Word of God has to say about it. And we're going to be blessed today. God, speak to our hearts today, Lord. Speak to us, Jesus. Jesus, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Is all one conversation. Things that Jesus said. Things that Jesus taught us. And so let's go to this 6:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So that's people that were outside of the covenant. That's us. We're outside the covenant. Until Jesus died and He gave us a blood covenant that we redeemed from the curse and brought into the family of God. Hallelujah. All right? For your heavenly Father... Now, listen carefully, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. There's this conversation about clothes and food and care going on, the fowls and all the things that God does, the lilies of the field, you know the song, Consider the Lilies. And so God cares about your stuff. Matter of fact, in Ezra 8:21, Deborah, they went down by the river and they fasted and they prayed. And they fasted they could do God's will. They fasted for their family and their children. And then it goes on to say they fasted that they'd have knowledge, Glenn, what to do with their substance. So you can't function on this planet without some stuff. And you can't go over and preach all over the world. You can't sin, as I was listing earlier. You can't be a blessing to other people if you hadn't got something. Or if you're in the food soup line with the rest of the folks in the soup line, you can't bless them folks in that soup line because you're in the same line. You got to get in another line. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? And so that's the only way you can function. It takes money for the work of God to be high. It takes money for us to do the purpose of God. And I'm going to read it. Hopefully I'll get to Deuteronomy 8:18 today. But then it goes on to say, but Jesus said, but I know you need all this stuff. And I'm going to bless you with it. But here's how you get it. But seek ye first, and here's the priority. Priority is not on things, but priority is on this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we've been talking about that. That's the spiritual domain of God on this planet. And one day there's going to be a literal kingdom of God, 1,000-year reign here on this earth. Literally, Jesus will be here, ruled with a rod of iron. All right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Real quickly, there's two types of righteousness. Number one, eternal. Number two, practical. Number one, eternal. When you meet Jesus, the blood washes your sins away. The Holy Spirit of God comes in and dwells in your heart. And you're born again by the Word of God. And you're saved and you're delivered. That's your eternal righteousness. It's locked in by Jesus Christ. Because He is the anchor that sits at the right hand of the Father. Mr. Wayne, He sits there. And he's got an anchor. He's our anchor. According to Hebrews, He's our anchor. That's a solid anchor, all right? And so that's eternal righteousness. That's solid and sure as a rock, all right? Practical righteousness is here on earth. It's, to make it simple, it's doing stuff right. Act like you know God. You know, act like you got some sense. I mean, basically, that's the only way I know how to put it, all right? So you got eternal righteousness that's locked in. Practical righteousness is a choice of yours here on this planet. Like I said earlier, smart choices are cheaper. Righteous choices are cheaper than unrighteous choices, all right? Righteous choices don't have any jail time with them. Righteous choices don't cost lawyers and stuff. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's go on. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, His righteousness, and all. See, a lot of people seek their own righteousness because they feel like they can get righteous enough on their own to make God happy. Jesus died on the cross to make God happy, all right? And He is blessed and pleased when you act righteous, but you'll never, Isaiah said, our personal righteousness is filthy rags, all right? So you'll never attain that on your own. You have to get it from Jesus, all right? And all these things shall be added unto you. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, send them on, Lord. There you go. All right. So God's got stuff for us. We've got to get the stuff in priority. Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Mark 10, 28, if you would, please. Mark 10, 28. I will show you here in the Word of God how blessed God wants to make you. All right. Mark 10, 28. He's talking to Peter, and Peter says, because Jesus has just talked about being blessing and different things. Then Peter began to say unto him, to Jesus, because Peter's always talking, lo, hey, you know, don't leave us out. We have left everything and have followed you. Notice what the next verse says, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, Peter and everybody else, verily I say unto you, there is no man. Mr. Tate, that includes me and you. We've been brought in by the blood of Jesus. No man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. In other words, his kingdom is priority, all right? His kingdom is priority in our lives. And if you put other stuff, even your family, before the will of God, you're getting out of whack. That's not God. God don't bless your family that way. You have to put him first, all right? All right, verse number 30. But ye shall receive an hundredfold, 100 times more, right? That's what that means. Now in this time. When is that? Anybody know what the word now means? All right. Right now. So you don't have to pray, Lord. Just give me a little cabin in the corner of glory. There are no cabins up there. All right. So anyway, God paves streets out of gold. He builds gates out of pearls and jewelry. And so he said, I'll bless you now in this time. All right. And so he goes on to say, but you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. Now, there are going to be some challenges. Now, one of them is the world and the church. They will forgive you for selling drugs and go to prison. They will forgive you for adultery. They will forgive you for everything you can think of. But whatever you do, they will not forgive you for being successful. I can assure you of that. They will not forgive you if your car costs more than their car. All right? They just ain't going to process that. Can I get an amen? All right? They're going to look at your car, and when they leave, they're going to talk about your car because it's shinier than their car. Okay? If you hadn't experienced that, if you get really, really blessed, trust me, you will. All right? And in the world to come, eternal life. In other words, we're going to be blessed here, and we're going to be blessed there. Right. And the reason I know that is I have a 13-year-old Hummer, as I've told you 100 times. If you want everybody to think you're rich, go buy you a used Hummer. It don't even have to run. Just pull it home, set it out in your yard, and trust me. Everybody thinks I'm a millionaire. And I want them to keep thinking that. You know, they say it, and our words have power in it. You know, some of them's Christians and some of them's not. But, hey, God's listening, so just bring the millions home, Jesus. All right, bring it home. He knows what I'll do with it. And so I'll bless the Lord and bless people. But God said he'll bless us right here, right now. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I want to try to get this in your spirit today because some people have a real problem with God blessing them. They think it's, I don't know what they think. They think the poorer they are, the sicker they are, the more broke down they are, that there's something to do with humility or something. But the Bible doesn't teach that. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make, and God is able to make all grace or his blessings abound toward you, that ye always, see these words are very definitive, always having all sufficiency, I mean, you feel me? In all things, there we are, things, that you may abound. Abound is a lot of it, to every good work. Can we get an amen? All right, we just need to believe that. If you read the passage, you have to give. You gotta plant watermelons to get watermelons. You can go out there and stand out there and look at your garden all you want to, but if you don't plant nothing, Glenn Page, you ain't gonna get nothing but weeds. How many knows weeds will grow by themselves? Can I get an amen? All right. The Bermuda grass will grow under concrete, all right? You don't even have to plant it. Are y'all with me? But God said if you'll sow, if you read this whole chapter, you'll find out if you'll sow, God will bless you. And so you got to be a giver. You got to have the spirit of a giver. You got to give. And because it's a process. So, Brother Scott, is that don't sound right. You give to get. I didn't write the Bible. And if that's your attitude about it, if you're going to give God $100 and try to buy you a Cadillac, they cost a lot more than $100. Some of y'all get that? All right. God said just do what I say do, and I will bless you whatever you need. You may not need a Cadillac. All right. So God will bless you what you need for your place. And you let your place worry about your stuff, and you don't worry about other folks' stuff. 1 Timothy 6:17. Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich. Tell the rich people in this world. Tell them not to be high-minded. I know folks, you can give them $100. Baby. They shine them boots. They shine them cowboy boots, and they stroke. You know, it's up. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying? And then when they lose, the $100 is gone. Hilton, they get so depressed. I mean, oh, God, what am I going to do? I've experimented with this, and so it's sad to watch. Nor trust in uncertain riches. How many knows, I know this firsthand, you can have a pocket full of money one day, and something can happen unexpected, and the next day, you ain't got no pocket full of money, amen? All you business owners, Glenn owns his own business, I own mine, Matthew owns his, Hilton, you might as well wave your hand, all right? So, hey, you business owners know that for sure. But also people that have jobs, you know what? Them folks you work for, they can fire you. They'll tell you on Thursday, we love you. Oh, you're going, what's that song? Have a cigar, Pink Floyd. Come on in, boy. Just come on in, sit down. Boy, they're going to love you, all right? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And then 24 hours later, they fire you. All of a sudden, we don't like you no more. We got somebody else, all right? And so don't trust in the money. God blesses you with it. You'll be a blessing with it. Keep your attitude right, and God will bless you. But in trust in the living God. There is no time. There is no time, no place on this earth that you will quit trusting God. If you do, that's when you finna fall in a hole that you're going to need help to get out of. Amen? I don't care how much money you got. Look how much money you got. These folks working, pushing buggies at Walmart right now that had lots of money until 2007 and 2008. And what happened in 2007 and 2008? It went south, all right? And it don't have to be a stock market crash, all right? Your personal stock market can crash. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right? But notice what it says, the last part of this verse. What's it say? Who giveth us richly all, there it is again. All things to what? Enjoy. Read Ecclesiastes when you get home this afternoon. It's 12 chapters. Read it real slowly. And about 5 times in there, Solomon says one of the best things you can do is work all week, get a paycheck, stop at Vowels on your way home or Williamsville and get you a ribeye and get you a baked potato or some asparagus or whatever you like and go home, put it on the grill and get you a Mountain Dew or some sweet tea. Solomon said, there ain't nothing better than to go just sit down and enjoy a good meal. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, preacher, that's wasteful. Okay, well, you can eat your salmon patties out of the can or whatever you want to do. But, I mean, you know, God wants you to be blessed. Now, I like salmon patties, too. Don't misunderstand me. You can obviously tell I like everything but cucumbers and celery, okay? And if you eat them, you're going to starve to death and have to go to the hospital, too, because it's something, you know, they're going to make you sick. But anyway, God wants to bless us with things. We've got to get past this block that we have. Because I hear it all the time. Well, God, He ain't never going to bless me with money. I probably couldn't handle it. Well, let Him handle. Let Him handle it. He gives you $1 million. Come in here. Let me tell you what to do. Come in here and write a check for $100,000 and put it in this offering plate because that's 10%. That's a tithe. I promise you He will help you with the other $900,000. Okay? And I know some of you, I've heard people say, when I get blessed, preacher, I'm going to buy you something. Let me tell you something. If you got $10 in your pocket and you won't give some of that to Jesus, when you get $10 million in your pocket, you won't give then. It ain't about how much money you got. It's what you got in here and what you got in here. It's a mindset. I know people that are millionaires and they're broker than I am up here. Okay? They don't know they could die this afternoon. The man in the Bible, he had so much money, didn't know what he was going to do it all. He built him barns. Praise God, we got to build me some more barns to put my stuff in. Jesus said, thou fool, don't know you're going to die tonight. You better enjoy life. If God blesses you, take the opportunity to enjoy it, because tomorrow stuff could happen and all of a sudden that money you got can't fix what's happening. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen? But see, God wants to bless His people. Now, why does He want to do that? See, our ministry in India with 15 churches and our lead pastor, I had to explain to him that. I said, we bought him a diesel van, we bought all kind of stuff. And I said, I want all the pastors to have new clothes and look sharp. Pastor Josh didn't understand that. I said, well, just trust me. I said, you said I was your apostle. You said that you'd do what I tell you. He said, I will. I said, I want all of them to look sharp. You know what's happened? Folks over yonder are starving to death. If they see you eating and looking sharp, they're going to come and say, whoa, now, so this plan I'm on, I'm worshiping these rats over here, and they ain't got no money. Where'd you get all this stuff you got at? And you get the opportunity, Eve, to say, well, let me tell you about this man, Jesus. Amen. He loved me enough to die for me, and His Father pays roads with gold. Because we got pictures of them. They look sharp. Got white shirts on and jeans, and they look sharp. Okay? And they get a lot of attention. That's why it's growing. If you can't blend in and stand out at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you stand out, you're going to get some attention. In America, you're going to get some negative attention because, well, you see that what she's got on. Mm-hmm. Y'all might as well say amen. Right. Come on now. We want to go home sometime. They don't make me stay here all day to try to get this point across, all right? Huh? You don't be, I think I hit, anybody here ever plowed in the field before? Anybody, raise your hand. I know it ain't a lot of you. Raise your hand, all right? What happens when you hit a stump out there in that field you didn't know was there a root? Your shin is going to hit the back of that plow stock. Can I get it? That's what I did. My shin just hit something, all right? Who you been talking about yesterday had a prettier dress than you did? Some of y'all was. I felt it, all right? Now, I wasn't with you, okay? And I don't have, you know, cameras following you around. I just felt that plow stock hit that stump. Can I get an amen? Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Yeah. All right? But if everybody don't know about it, keep your sins to yourself and just talk to Jesus about them. We don't want to know about them, all right? You got me? But God wants us to be blessed, richly blessed. And here's why. We're going to get to it. All right, go with me to Deuteronomy 8:18. If you don't get anything I've said today, get this verse, please. It will explain that God wants us blessed. Deuteronomy 8:18, it's in the Bible. But see, what's going on in India, and I use them for illustration all the time because it's such a perfect situation because the poverty is unreal over there and all the stuff that's happening over there. But notice we're going to read what the Bible says here. Deuteronomy 8:18, I believe I've got that correct. Yes. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Don't forget God in the factor. Always factor Him in. For it is He that giveth the power to get what? Is that in your Bible? Here's why. That He may establish His covenant. That's an agreement that God makes with you when you get saved. And that's an agreement God makes with you if you honor Him with your time and your money and whatever. He says, I'm going to establish a covenant agreement which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So God will bless you, all right? And He wants us to establish. Know that phrase? Establish His covenant. He wants us to go to every place in the world and tell people about Jesus so they can get hooked up with Jesus and they can go to heaven when they die and be blessed on the way to heaven so they can help other people. Can I get an amen, all right? Amen. Just like this change money we got right here, this jug right here, this change money, we take it up all year. And we're going to buy some bicycles and baby dolls and whatever with it, all right? And we're going to take it to kids in Neshoba County that will not have Christmas if we don't do this. Because they don't have the money to buy it. It could be a drug-infested situation. It could be this daddy lost his job. There's all kind of reasons, all right? And so we'll give it to the children. We'll translate this into something for those babies. Okay? And they have smiles on their face. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Because that's what they will get from us. Nothing from no one else. And we give God praise. Remember the Lord. It's not really from us. It's Him, all right? And see this change that they're putting here? Who actually misses it in this church? Who actually misses this change? It's usually $800 to $1,000. This year, we have someone that's going to match it. If we have $1,000 money collected up at this time, we have a person that's going to write a check for $1,000 and double it instantly. That's hundredfold. That's bam. Just bam like that. So what you going to do with all that money? Same thing. Why? Because we made a covenant with God. And God, you bless the children, God bless you. All right? God will bless you. It just works that way. I mean, it works that way. All right, one more passage of Scripture. Go with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse number 11, Joshua. Psalm 19, verse number 11. All right? Now, let me talk to you about seed. This just come into my spirit. We take time to brag on our babies when they win awards, when they win things and they've got good grades. What we're doing is we're planting a seed in them that we love them, that we're proud of them. And what the fruit that comes from that is they know that Brother Scott is going to recognize them in church, and subconsciously they may not be fully aware of it, but it helps push them, all right? Praise pushes people. If you don't believe me, you just stop recognizing your children. They'll go the other way. Can I get an amen? Now, if your children need discipline them. Be clear about it. Don't discipline them just because you're mad or whatever. You discipline direct disobedience. But when they do good, if you're going to discipline your children, part of that is flip the coin. When they do good, you tell them they did good. You understand what I'm saying? You're planting a seed. You're keeping it balanced. Now, Psalm 19, powerful passage. We're going to read in verse number 11. Moreover, by them, talking about the Word of God, if you read the first 10 verses, moreover, by the Word of God, thy servant is warned. This book right here will warn you of some things you don't want to do. It'll warn you if you read it. In keeping, now, when you keep them, that's why I said what I did about balance. Now, it'll warn you. Notice what else it'll do. If you keep them, protect them, guard them, in keeping of them, there's great reward. All right, you have awards and rewards. An award is a plaque or some kind of piece of paper, something that you're very proud of and you hang on the wall. A reward is like an award on steroids. You understand what I'm saying? Did I get that across? And so God will bless you. He will reward you for honoring Him. That's the way God works, and He will bless you. I promise you that. I've experienced it in my life. So, Brother Scott, you've been through a lot of trials. It's also very clear in here that you're going to go through some trials on this planet. But the trials of your faith will make you shine like gold. And people will look at you and say, boy, he's going through it, but I can't tell if he's still just praising God. He's still going to church. He's still supporting the kingdom of God. You know what will happen? It'll flip back over. Why? Because God's a good God. That's His very nature. All right? Let's keep reading. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse thou me from thy secret faults. So there's some things that only you know about in your life. They secrets. So keep them between you and God. Don't put it on Facebook, all right? Don't announce it to the world. We don't need to know all your stuff in your closet, all right? Just you and God talked about it. And let Him take care of it. And I know that some people don't make mistakes, don't have no faults. I know people like that. It's holy and righteous. And I bless them, Lord. And so, but I ask the Lord to show me. I don't want no blind spots. Right? And everybody has them. Can I at least get some kind of grunt or something there, you know? Verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. You fool with sin, if you ain't careful, it'll be driving you. Places you don't need to take your car, all right? It'll be, are y'all with me? Okay? You'll wind up somewhere you don't need to be. And then you got to get yourself back. You got to try to sneak back at night so the neighbors don't see. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. In other words, don't get yourself messed up. Let the words of my mouth, powerful verse, verse 14, Joshua, yes. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto you, God, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The word redeem is a money word. That's a money. If you look it up, it's a money word. God has used a money word in its root definition to say that He redeemed us, Ronnie. He bought us off the block. I mean, we was headed down a bad road, but Jesus shed His blood and He purchased us and redeemed us from a curse. So He used a money word to explain to us why, because we understand money. We understand trade and things. We understand that by 70% of the parables Jesus taught had to do with investment and return, had to do with being wise. You understand what I'm saying? And so, things. Jesus said it's okay to have things, but you don't need them to have you. And so, God will bless you if you'll believe that He'll bless you. Say, Brother Scott, I know that you have had us praying for your business the last 3 or 4 years. It's not doing good. That's right. It's not. But see, the thing about I know about God, if I will maintain, just keep going on, He'll flip it back over. I've seen Him. This ain't the first time I've had. You understand what I'm saying? He'll flip it back over. If you want to you got to have some. You got to have something to eat substantial to fill your belly. And that won't do it. But I tell you what. Not this money, but I'll take my own money. And when I leave here, unless I change my plans, I'm going to go over to a restaurant called City Limits. And if I go in, they're going to say, how you doing? I'm going to say, I'm hungry, but I understand y'all can fix that problem here, you know? And so, but the only way they can fix it is you got some of this. They ain't got no charge account over there. All right? Why? Because they know better. All right? So anyway, but you can trade this right here, Ronnie Lewis, if you got enough of it. You can trade for anything you want in there. Y'all with me yet? Jesus shed His blood. And God used a money word more than one time. He talked about us being redeemed from the curse. Matter of fact, He refers to Jesus as my Redeemer. He bought me with His blood. God will bless us with things to use for His glory. And when it travels through your hands, if you've honored God, He'll let you keep some of it. Can I get an amen? He'll let you hang on to some of it. He'll bless you. So it's okay to want. Amen. There you go. Amen. He'll bless you, but you got to believe that He will. Okay? So, Brother Scott, are you just trying to get our money? Have I ever asked any of y'all for a dime? Just for the record. I tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get some money in your pocket. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get some money in your pocket because we got a lot to do for the kingdom of God. Did you know Jesus said we need to feed and we need to clothe and we got to go to all the world? You know it costs money to go over to all the world? You got to have money. You can't just walk up to the airplane and say, I want a first class ticket with a bed and a TV and a ribeye. And they're going to say, well, where's your money? I'm saying, oh, I'm going for Jesus. They said, well, we love Jesus and Elvis too, but we still need some money, all right? Are y'all with me? God will bless us. You know why God's blessed us right here? We don't owe nobody for nothing right here. It's our stuff that God blessed us. That's why we got an alarm here to protect the stuff that God's blessed us with. But that stuff comes in, we keep what we got to have here, the rest of it goes. And that's why God it's a cycle. You follow me? It's a cycle. So get in the cycle of God's kingdom. Be a blessing. God will bless you so you can be a bigger blessing. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise if you would, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Standing to your feet. Let's agree in prayer. Catch your neighbor by the hand. Just reach over and catch your neighbor by the hand so we can agree in prayer today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into agreement. You said in your word that if two people touch one thing, it'll be done. And so we agree. We agree with you. We honor you with our giving. We honor you with our time and our life. And so, Lord, we receive the harvest on that. And so we can be blessed and replant some of that harvest as seed. And we can be blessed with some of that harvest. And we take it and we can go and do the things that we do for your kingdom. So help us today. Because I was told, and I've been to more than one third world country, I was told that I'd come home feeling guilty and condemned because I was blessed. I was told that by many, several preachers. So I was praying about that on the airplane. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, now guilt and condemnation is not part of the kingdom of God. He said, because if you wasn't blessed, you couldn't be on this airplane. And so, Father, thank you for blessing us at God's house to do what you've called us to do. And by your grace, we will keep doing what you've called us to do. And we're going to touch people by the grace of God. And they're going to be redeemed by the Redeemer. Lord, we just praise you. Bless our county, our street. Brother Mickey prays for Gum Street every time he prays. Bless the folks right here. You don't have to go somewhere else to be a blessing. Be a blessing when you go to the store. Be a blessing when you walk, go to your job. Be a blessing and unto the Lord, and God will bless you. Now, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Bless my flock that you've given me to be shepherd over. I'm honored, Lord, that they just keep coming to hear the word of the Lord. Bless them and let them realize if they keep the word of God that you're going to guide them and you're going to reward them. And so, Lord, we receive this word today in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen.